Do you have questions? Well, we have Catholic Answers, live, with Tim Staples. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Have you heard of the groundbreaking website for Catholics called cmgbooking.com? Make sure you visit cmgbooking.com to book a great Catholic speaker for your next event. cmgbooking.com is a one-of-a-kind company that represents strictly Catholic speakers and connects them with conferences all over the world. cmgbooking.com is your number one source for Catholic speakers. Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 32. Today we're going to finish our interview with Tim Staples. Have you enjoyed this interview as much as I have? I mean, it's been truly amazing to have the opportunity to sit down and speak with an evangelist and apologist like Tim Staples. What a blessing. Once again, I want to thank everybody for sending in their feedback and their reviews on iTunes. Again, I cannot express enough just how well that's working out. I mean, your work on iTunes is really pushing this podcast up the ranks. We made, as I said before, the top 100 list once again, and that is just, we're finding more and more listeners are finding this podcast as a result to your work on iTunes. So thank you very, very much. Let me give you an example. Pablo out in Florida left me a review on iTunes, you know, saying that he's discovered this podcast and he's listening to it while he's working, and he's finding not only this podcast but other really great Catholic podcasts like the Rosary Army or Vocations Cast, and what a blessing it is to see someone like Pablo discover, you know, great Catholic content that they can fill their day with. It's been a real blessing in that regard. Chad Jacob also left me a review on iTunes. He says, I found this podcast via Insight Scoop with Carl Olson on his blog. If anyone needs a great Catholic podcast for jogging or the drive to work, this is it. Sound Catholic teaching with interviews from some of the greatest and brightest minds of Catholicism. Tune in for your listening pleasure. One downside, the guitar strumming in the background during the interviews. Stop it, Joe. Awesome podcast. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Subscribe to it, download it, listen to it, and then get it out and live it. So, I thought this was not the first feedback that I've received about the background guitar strumming during the interviews anyway. So, I thought I would try with Tim Staples to play the interview without the background music. And you can let me know what you think. If you like the background music, you let me know and I'll put it back in. Otherwise, I'm going to leave it out, I guess, during the interview portion of the show. So thank you very, very much, Chad, for sending in your review. I truly do appreciate that. It's funny, I got an email from Roland out in San Antonio. Roland is the first person to leave me a review on iTunes. And Roland was commenting on the interview with Carl Olson and the Rapture and his book, Will Catholics Be Left Behind? And Roland said he enjoyed the interview, but he really wanted to know more specifically what we Catholics thought. What do we believe about rapture, about the end times? And it just had dawned on me that we hadn't even really talked about that. Not very clearly, anyway. We sort of alluded to it and hinted at it, but we didn't really focus on it. So I spoke with Carl yesterday over the phone, and I told him about that, and I shared that review with him. And Carl said, you know, we should do another one. Let's focus on that. So I'm going to try to coordinate a date with Carl that we can do a second interview where we can speak more specifically about what Catholics believe about the end times and the rapture, for example. So thank you, Roland, for that feedback. Well, again, like I said yesterday, the John Martinoni interview is in the can, and that should be coming your way next week. I'll be doing the post edits hopefully over the weekend so that I can post that on Monday. That was a great conversation. John Martinoni is a fantastic Catholic apologist, a great resource for you in your daily life. I've been listening to John for several years now, and he was instrumental during my conversion experience. We've been sharing his materials for the last 3-4 years. It's been really good. One thing I like about John Martinoni is that he has a very down-to-earth, common-sense approach to apologetics. You know, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be, you know, somebody who's got the Bible memorized in order to share your faith. And I really, really like that. I can relate to that. And I think you'll get that sense from him when we listen to his interview next week. Want to say hello to Jason Sims out in Alabama. Jason is a convert to the church, also working on a podcast. So, hello, Jason. Samantha Dorgan, I'm not sure I said your last name correctly, but Samantha from Nashville, Tennessee, also wrote in last night. And Samantha, I really appreciate your listening to this podcast. Also want to let you know that we have our first ever Catholic Hack correspondent signed up and ready to go for World Youth Day 2008 in Australia. Craig Bullock from Sydney has agreed to give us some sound-seeing tours during the World Youth Day in July in Australia, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Hi, everyone. This is Greg Willits from Rosary Army and SQPN. We're so excited to let you know that the groundbreaking first season of That Catholic Show is now on DVD. And you can order your copy today. The National Catholic Register called it humorous yet reverent, which is a perfect description for the 8 episodes on this disc, including topics about the priesthood, why Catholics sit, stand, and kneel all the time, why do we go to confession, and a whole bunch of other great stuff. And of course, every episode still contains everybody's favorite outtakes where my wife Jennifer goofs up every time she makes the videos. So check it out. Go to thatcatholicshow.com and order your copy today. And while you're at it, go ahead and pick up a copy for your parish, for your priest, for your family and friends. It makes a great gift, especially for people who have never checked out podcasts before. That Catholic Show from Rosary Army and SQPN. Get it today at www.thatcatholicshow.com.
Well, today we're going to finish up our interview with Tim Staples. We're going to discuss with Tim his professional career, how he got to Catholic Answers, you know, that journey along the way. And we're also going to talk about his resource material and resource materials at Catholic Answers. We're going to talk about, you know, his debates and what it means to be an evangelist and someone who shares the good news of Christ and his bride, the Church. You know, it was actually Tim Staples' older material, his work on St. Joseph's Radio, that I discovered Tim. And those are some fantastic audio materials, as I've shared before. I really encourage you to go on to the EWTN audio library and do a keyword search on Tim Staples and see what you come across. I think you're going to be blown away by how good some of that material is. You have to just be careful because it's in real audio format. Well, we have to roll up our sleeves. We've got to dive deep. We've got to get into the truth with Tim Staples.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human, but we can benefit in the school. You're in and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to assist. Could change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet. 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
dive, dive, dive.
Really did not have a desire to say Mass and hear confessions. That was not my desire. My desire was to evangelize. I want to go out and bring people to Mass, bring people to confession, but I just did not discern the calling to say Mass and to live that priestly life. And so I ended up leaving the seminary, and that's when doors, in fact, doors opened even before I left the seminary in apologetics. Within 3 months of leaving the seminary, this would have been 1994, the summer there of 94. About 2 months later, I was in my car, an old beat-up Mercury, and driving it across the country to go to work in Catholic apologetics and Catholic radio in Southern California.
Wow, wow. Now, you worked at St. Joseph's Communications for a while.
Right. Well, I actually started with a smaller apostolate. I felt like God was calling me to Catholic media, television, and in particular, radio. And at that time, St. Joseph Communications wasn't doing radio, and neither was Catholic Answers. This was back in 94, and the first ministry I came in contact that was doing radio was a little apostolate here in Orange, California, called St. Joseph Radio, which was actually, at one time, it was actually founded by Terry Barber from St. Joseph Communications, but it wasn't doing well, and so he was going to give it up. And one of his volunteers there was a lady, Lou Cortese, who asked him, hey, let me take it over and try to make a go of it. Mm-hmm. And so Terry and St. Joseph Communications got out of radio. Lou Cortese took it over and tried to make a go of it. And so that's where I met her, and I thought, yeah, this is it, man. Catholic radio, this is what I want to do. And so I drove, as I said, my grandfather gave me, and my grandfather had passed away, left a car to my mother, an old Mercury Grand Marquis, big old boat of a car, and I had just enough money to make it across the country. You know, I think I had about $10 in my pocket when I got to California, and I went to work for St. Joseph Radio, which lasted about 3 years, from 94 to 97. But it was a small apostolate, and they really couldn't pay me enough to live. And I had to take a second job and such as a youth minister in order to just barely pay the bills. And that's when St. Joseph Communications came on the scene, when I met Terry Barber and the folks there. I went to work there at the end of 97. And I was there until 2000. Well, actually, I think I went there full time. I think it was January or February of 98. And so I was there for about 7 years until 2005. And St. Joseph Communications was a much bigger apostolate, and they were able to, you know, it does help if you can eat, you know,
yeah,
and pay your bills.
Exactly. That's always a bonus. It's an upside for sure, you know.
that's an upside. And so there, I was there until January of 2005, when I came to work for Catholic Answers, where I've been almost 3 years. And this is like the perfect fit. At Catholic Answers, I could not be happier, and just stoked. We have 45 full-time employees, 9 full-time apologists, and we have, you know, I always tell folks, we have 2 of the top 2 apologists in the United States, you know, in Carl Keating and Jimmy Akin.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
it just
absolutely.
Doesn't get,
absolutely.
It just doesn't, and then you've got Rosalind Moss and Jason Everett and Father Vincent Serpa and, you know, Jim Blackburn, Michelle Arnold, Peggy Fry.
Yeah.
We've got a
mammoth
stable of apologists there that is really, really something. And I tell you, I've probably grown as an apologist more in the last 3 years than I've grown in the last 10 years.
Wow. I got to tell you, though, from the St. Joseph's Communication days, there's some classic audio resources that I've pulled down.
Absolutely.
Off of EWTN's audio library, you know, for free, that I've given out to many people, and no, I'm not going to pay you any royalties for it, but I've used them quite a bit. I burn them onto CDs and I pass them out. And
that's great to hear.
For this podcast, one of the first themes that I wanted to cover was the divinity of Christ. I encountered Jehovah's Witnesses on several occasions, and this had come up. And you have a you did an hour where you went through the arguments, and it was geared towards Jehovah's Witnesses, and it was just it's phenomenal. And so I've used that material quite a bit, and specifically on that one podcast, number 5, the divinity of Jesus Christ. And so those are fantastic resources, and I'm always pointing people to those, you know, that they can get to them for free and off EWTN's audio library. But your work on Catholic Answers just seems to get better and better. I'm a faithful listener to Catholic Answers Live, and you know, and just recently I was listening to your debate with Steve Gregg, which was a really cool debate. I mean, a week long, you know, going at it point by point. It's nice to be able to get a guy like you on the phone to talk, because most people will never have this opportunity. But was it frustrating, and sometimes because of debating to me seems like it would just be a very frustrating endeavor, because there's so much to cover, not enough time to cover it, and then your opponent has no problem saying, okay, well, let's talk about this point, but then all of a sudden out of nowhere, but you believe in purgatory, or you believe this over here, like it's totally off the subject, requires a whole nother hour to really, you know, to talk about. Was it frustrating at all for you to in those debates, specifically with Steve Gregg?
Well, you know, over the years, I think, and I've been at this for quite a while, having entered officially into full-time apologetics in 94. I'm one of the old guys. You know, I've been at this for quite a while, and if you go all the way back to 88, you know, we're talking almost 20 years of doing this. And I've messed up about every way that a person can. Getting frustrated, shouting matches, you name it, pride.
What? You know.
And over the years, you know, I guess you kind of grow, and I really realize more and more that, you know, it's not about me. I am just a professional parrot. You know, my friend Jesse Romero says often, you know, I'm just a professional parrot. I parrot what the church says, and some people confuse, you know, me for the church.
Right.
The only time that I'm good, and when people say, "Wow, Tim, you're good," is when I happen to parrot things right. And really, that's all we have to do is say what the church says, and it's the power of the gospel that transforms people. And I guess the more we realize that, the less frustrated we become. Because you can just say, you know, when Steve was talking, so many times I was thinking in my mind, oh, Steve, I was right where you are. I used to believe exactly that. And I would, you know, I think I even said that a few times during that debate. Now, having said that, yeah, there was a few times during that debate where I got a little frustrated and said, now, brother, slow down. You know, hold on. We got to get back to this point. But I think it's all about our first Pope's admonition in 1 Peter 3:15, you know. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always, and be ready to give every man an answer or a reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and with respect. And I think the meekness and the respect are absolutely crucial, because if we are not humble, acknowledging who it is that does the converting, number one, and number two, who it is that we are. We are sinners, and were it not for the gift of grace, I would be where Steve is. I would be, you know, further away from the truth than where Steve is. And then there's the idea of respect. To respect where people are and understand that, man, I was there. I was raised the way Steve is teaching, and I know Steve. He comes out of the Jesus movement. He's been around a long time, and he has all of those prejudices and misconceptions, so many of them. But, you know, what I try to do is I look at Steve, and I read up about him, and I talk to him on the phone, and I can see how on his journey he's come a long way. He's gone from a Calvary Chapel dispensationalist to now being an amillennialist who has rejected the rapture. He's growing and actually in some ways moving toward the Catholic position. He doesn't know it yet. He rejects sola fide. He doesn't believe in justification by faith alone. So, you know, you take that and realize I can respect this guy and where he's coming from, and I think that helps. And that helps in our discussions with whoever it is we're talking to.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of things. Steve's a very well read person. I mean, he can quote chapter and verse with the best of them, and that's what
yes he can.
It's difficult because you have to listen attentively because the differences sometimes can be subtle. And you listen to a person like that who is very well spoken, you know, that can influence people in the wrong way. And so it was a good debate because I can't imagine a better person to go up against him in that sort of a format than Tim Staples, I got to tell you. Because one thing that's just so impressive, Tim, is you probably don't carry a Bible anymore, do you? You've memorized it, so what's the point? You know, the verses seem to roll off your tongue. So either A, you really are amazing and you just memorized it, or two, you're cheating. I don't know which, but it's got to be one or the other. But
you know what? Most often now, I really don't. I don't bring a Bible. Now, at Catholic Answers, when we're even when I do, like at Catholic Answers, we have a Bible and a catechism. Plus, we have a computer right in front of us to where we can go online. But I find even if I bring a Bible and all of that, when you're in the heat of the battle, I virtually never open it anyway. Because you really do have to be quick on the draw.
Yeah.
So, I may have a Bible handy, but for the most part, I'm just quoting scripture.
another thing that I really have come to depend on you is, I pull out these little gems when I'm in discussions with people, and oftentimes I think that when I do it, that they think I'm bigger than I really am. Because, for example, I'll bring out some Greek word, and it really impresses people, that ke karitomene or whatever, and they get all just impressed. And I'm like, I don't know Greek, but I know this guy, Tim. He's always talking about the Greek, and it really – but honestly, as an amateur apologist, as an average, every ordinary day layman, I've used those Greek words so often, and brephe, talking about the infants, and I bring
absolutely
them out, and I found these fantastic web resources where you can go online and you can actually look at every single Greek word in these Greek texts, and you can pull out the English translation of them, and it's empowered me, and I tried to share that with other people. But I love the way that when you're doing apologetics, more than I think most other apologists have done, is you've included these Greek words, because to a guy like me, it's like, oh wow, I can go look that up now. That's a
absolutely
little that's a little gem that just empowered me, and so I've really appreciated how you've incorporated that into your delivery style. And you do such a great job on Catholic Answers, taking these questions and being able to give the answer, the response, in a very clear, concise way, with all the relevant resources and references. That's always very good too. Not everybody is cut out for that type of work, but you do it
right.
You do a good job, and you're like you said before, you're in good company. I mean, you got a guy like Jimmy Akin there. I mean, has Jimmy ever been stumped? I have yet to.
I don't think so.
I don't think I've never seen Jimmy Akin in person, so I'm tending to doubt he's a real person. I think it's just an advanced computer system, that you've just masked and named Jimmy Akin, quote unquote.
He is Mr. Spock.
Yeah, exactly. He is phenomenal. Someday I'd like to talk to him too. But I mean, just the Tim Staples and Jimmy Akin and just all these fantastic resources at Catholic Answers. It's just been.
And Carl King's not bad either.
Yeah, exactly. You get a guy like Carl Keating. And when I was going through my own conversion and I got a hold of his book, Catholicism and Fundamentalism, it blew me away.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a fantastic, well-written
book. It's a classic.
I gave a copy of that to my father, and it wasn't very well received, honestly. But, I just pray that, that it just sinks in, because with a book like that, it's just an overall very good treaty to someone who comes from those Protestant evangelical, type circles. I can't imagine.
A lot of us apologists write books and do CD sets, but there's a few that are really classic, and I think honestly, 100 years from now, that book is going to be on the level of Cardinal Gibbon's Faith of Our Fathers. That is definitely a classic, so well done. And I think what Carl has Carl has such a gift. Number one, he's a great writer, but he's got that wit about him that makes the books that he writes really readable. And you know, I get a kick out of some of the little things that Carl does. You know, I was telling him not long ago that I loved the one chapter is headed concerning Jimmy Swaggart. I have literally bent over backwards, and this comes from one of Swaggart's books or tracks where he says, "I have literally bent over backwards to try and understand Catholicism and give them every benefit of the doubt." And to portray them accurately. And Carl's response was, well, his contortions didn't seem to help him very much. And he goes on to show how he misrepresents Catholicism. But, I mean, it's just a great wit like that. I have literally been around the picture Jimmy Swaggart bent over backwards. But Carl has that ability to write. He uses that wit and such. But he also has the ability that I think is essential if you're going to be an apologist, to be able to take complex issues, understand them yourself, and be able to present them succinctly and easily in terms that people can understand. My Greek professor in the seminary was a Jesuit priest, Father Patrick Brennan, who's one of the most brilliant human beings that I know. And he was the master at that, the best I've ever heard. And he used to say to me, And I'll take this with me all the way to the grave and beyond. He said, if you can't make something understandable to the average Joe sitting in the pew, then you don't understand it yourself.
Right.
Man, that just nailed. And you know, because a lot of times people will just take big words and use them without really understanding what they mean.
Yeah, exactly.
And that apologetics is about making it understandable.
And what a fantastic resource we have in Catholic Answers. I mean, the forums. I mean, I used to use the forums daily, you know, just to pick the brains of all these other users on there. And then the articles.
Yes.
My wife was evangelizing a Jehovah's Witness, or still is actually, in our neighborhood, and we've been using the materials on Jehovah's Witnesses there quite a bit. I mean, I use it almost every podcast I do. I post a link to an article off of Catholic Answers website, you know, as resource material. One of the great things that I really like is the articles incorporate the early fathers so well. It's so concise. Yeah. It breaks these just the short, you know, quotations. It's just really, really, really good. So you can never go wrong with that. Now, Tim, you've got a book that you just put out called Nuts and Bolts. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yes, actually, it was originally published in 1999. It's just been, we revised it, updated it a bit, made some corrections. And it's just now been republished in a new edition by Basilica Press. And that book is, it's Nuts and Bolts, a practical how-to guide to evangelism. And that really is, again, what apologetics is all about. I think Mark Shea, a good friend of ours at Catholic Answers, wrote one of the blurbs there and said, something to the effect of Tim Staples gives legs to apologetics here. and I think that's what I was trying to do is to it's 14 chapters, 14 different scenarios dealing with different, you know, Jehovah's Witness at the door, a Mormon at the door, a professor in school who doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to cover the gamut in apologetics there. And how you respond step by step. And each one of those chapters are based on actual experiences I've had over the years. And so I kind of take you through step by step. This is how the conversation generally goes. This is how you respond.
Wow, yeah, that's great. That's fantastic stuff. We need that. You know, but as you were saying that, the one scenario that I need more often for me, because God has put me in so many situations, and it's not with Protestants. It's with Catholics.
Yeah.
I honestly feel, and I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to be, you know, boastful at all, but I honestly feel like that's what God has called me to, you know, is to try to help evangelize fellow Catholics. And, you know, there's not enough resource material that's directed to that, in my opinion. You know, we have lots of material that says this is how you talk to a Protestant, you know, Calvary Chapel guy, but nothing about how do you turn to the Catholic next to you and evangelize them and get them to understand the church's teaching on contraception. You know,
we need more
of that. Now you must encounter all sorts. Yeah. I mean, you're traveling the country, the world, even. You were in the Philippines last year, giving talks. I mean, so you're pretty much a world evangelist at this point. I mean, in your experience, you've probably received all types. Is it mostly Protestants, Catholics? Who do you feel yourself evangelizing the most to?
Yeah, I would have to say by far I'm evangelizing Catholics.
Wow.
Even with a book like Nuts and Bolts, I'm teaching Catholics how to respond to these folks, and in the process, you're catechizing as well as evangelizing Catholics. In my seminars, you know, it's almost exclusively that I do the debates. As you know, I'm in the midst of another debate right now. In fact. So I'm debating Protestant ministers and people of other world religions, you name it, on a fairly regular basis. It's very rare that you'll contact me where I'm not in an email debate or a formal debate of some kind. But overwhelming majority is about evangelizing Catholics, and I think you're right. There's not enough tools that are ordered specifically to that. And I think that's something we need to work on. But I find myself, in fact, this weekend, me and Rosalind Moss are doing a conference together in Sugar Land, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And this is going to be a big old Catholic parish. It's going to be, I think they're expecting like 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's my back door
at
there.
At the conference. Yeah, Sugar Land, I forget the name of the parish, but... You know, that's what me and Roz and Jason and what we're really about is teaching Catholics, helping them to understand, hey, you know, when the Catholic Church speaks, just this alone, if Catholics understood, if 65 million Catholics really understood that when the Church speaks definitively, whether it be the Pope to the universal church on a matter of faith and morals, or a council, or all the bishops in union with the Pope around the world, these matters are settled. That is Jesus Christ speaking to us, and there is no option.
Yeah.
You know, this is the truth delivered by God. If we as Catholics believed that, we could change the world. There's no doubt about it. But the fact is, most of the Catholic world does not believe that. Most of the Catholic world doesn't believe in the Eucharist. Most of the Catholic world does not understand the gift of faith that they received through the sacrament of baptism when they were, you know, a couple of months old. And that's really where it's at. And the Catholic answers right now, we are really focusing on that through parish missions and parish talks, really trying to get the message into the pew.
I got to tell you, I've had a pretty frustrating week, actually yesterday, as a matter of fact. I participate in a men's formation program in our parish that's early in the mornings on Tuesdays, and we have a course of material that's very, very good, very well done. But then we get into small group discussion, and it's so frustrating for me to participate in that type of a setting, because just for what we just talked about, we're surrounded by good, well-intentioned Catholics who are simply just will not subscribe to the Catholic Church's teaching, you know. And when you try to share with them, you know, my experience, especially this week, it was very frustrating, discouraging, walking out of the room because they simply didn't want to hear it.
They
just didn't want to hear it. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I wonder about guys like Tim Staples. You know, do you participate in parish life? You know, not teaching Bible studies or small. Is it frustrating for you to participate in small group discussions because of that fact? I mean, for me, I don't want to be the guy who argues with everybody. But on the other side of that coin is 1 Peter 3:15. I'm going to give the church's teaching on the matter. I'm not going to leave the room without having said, well, this is what the church says.
Right.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. I have been in so many situations where, you know, I've ended up in, let's say, on the other side of the issue with priests, with DREs, mm-hmm. with you name it. I've written letters to bishop. You know, I've been through it all, and it can get very frustrating. But you know what? As my friend Congressman Bob Dornan said, you probably know I interviewed him a few years ago for St. Joseph's Communications in a tape set called Catholics in the Culture War. But you know, Bob Dornan, that gruff voice of his. Said, you know, maybe I'm a pugnacious Irishman, but I've always loved a good fight. And I don't know if that's the best attitude to have, but I tell you what, you know, St. Paul did say fight the good fight of faith. And it's not about fighting people, but it is about fighting for truth and taking stands. And honestly, I do love that. I love the fight. Because the faith and the truth of the faith is something that's is worth fighting for, defending.
Right.
And this is something we should not shy away from. And I appreciate your spirit because, you know, the book of Jude, verse 3 says, we are to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. And that means whether it's in the house, at the parish, wherever it is, we contend for the faith with meekness and with respect, but we contend nonetheless.
Yeah, I like to give a talk for the Knights of Columbus. I've given it before where, you know, when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me if you're going to be my disciple, I said, as a United States Marine, I recognize that as an order, not as a request. I've taken up my cross, and guess what? We're marching on Calvary. We're not going to be dragged there. I'm climbing the hill. I'm taking the hill. Will I see you at the top? You know, and that's been my
Absolutely.
That's been my the spirit of this podcast. And you know, it's let's give a reason. Let's have the courage to proclaim that which Christ died to give us, even when it's uncomfortable and even when it's discouraging. You know, in some cases, because you feel like all you're doing is arguing with people when, instead of just loving them, but you're loving them into the truth, and the truth is a person, and it's Jesus Christ. So,
well,
it's really encouraging to hear that, you know, there's people out there struggling worse than me. praise you, Tim, for all your work. And I really appreciate you taking the time today to speak with me and share with me your journey and the listeners of the Catholic Hack. It's truly an honor and truly a blessing.
Well, it's been great to be with you. And thanks for having me.
God bless you, Tim.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, what'd you think of that? Tim Staples, everybody. I mean, that was fantastic. Please send in your feedback and let me know what you thought. I really would appreciate that. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I truly do appreciate that. It has been a fantastic response, and I'm humbled by that and overwhelmed by that. So thank you. As always, I have to ask you for a couple of favors. One, leave me a review on iTunes. As I said before, that makes this podcast available to more and more people. And two, pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt today. Support this podcast. Go to the blog, www.catholichack.com. Until next time, I'm praying for you. Pray for me. May God richly bless you.
The Catholic Hack, the best in parking lot podcasting.